Christianity as the True Psychology by James Matthew Wilson. It would be nearly impossible to overstate the influence on modern Christianity of the French mathematician, physicist, and Christian apologist Blaise Pascal, 1623-1662. In his lifetime, Pascal was known chiefly for his work on the mathematics of probability and his experiments proving the reality of the vacuum, in addition to his controversial writings in defense of French Jansenism. Late in his short life, however, Pascal engaged his fellow Jansenists and his unbelieving libertine friends, whose interior lives seemed to prove the reality of a spiritual vacuum, with whom he would sit long hours at the gambling table to make use of his theory of probability, arguing for the truth of Christianity. We have evidence of these efforts only from a set of notes found after his death. Pascal's Pensées Thoughts, as these notes came to be called in their published form, has given shape to how we talk about Christianity ever since. Pascal provides a stark, indeed chilling, account of the human condition and adapts the ancient wisdom of St. Augustine to his own view of the world, all with the purpose of inducing all human beings to seek God. Pascal's notes come to 923 different fragments, some a sentence long, some extending for pages, but their argument can be summarized briefly. Christianity teaches, Pascal states, that the human condition is a fallen one. Human reason has difficulty knowing anything. Our rational powers are often specialized and narrow, and in any case, prone to distortions of vanity and imagination. Furthermore, we are disproportioned to the universe. The outer world consists merely of matter, but we are composed of matter and thought. The outer world is an infinite abyss, but we are finite. Christianity teaches that our God is a hidden God. Indeed, we cannot see him anywhere in the infinite emptiness of the universe. Human behavior offers further evidence of our fallenness. We are endowed with the greatness of thought, but we spend our energies continuously trying to avoid thinking, lest we be made aware of the vanity and emptiness of our interior selves. I have discovered that all the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they cannot stay quietly in their own chamber. We would like to be happy. We would like to rest in happiness. But in fact, we keep ourselves in constant stir, diverting ourselves from thought and deceiving ourselves with the belief that this or that activity, whether the hunting of hares, the new business venture, or our next bet at the casino, will at last allow us to rest content. Do we realize our absurdity? No, we double down on it. The immortality of the soul and the existence of God are two questions of absolute importance whose answers would determine how we should live. But most human beings give those questions only perfunctory consideration before shrugging their shoulders and heading back to the roulette wheel. Reason alone would counsel us to bet on the existence of God. But reason is a small thing compared to the confused depths of the human heart. Fallen man squanders his days with diversions rather than pursuing the truth about what matters most. In Christianity, true faith is a gift from God, as Pascal knows well. We receive it in supernatural grace and cannot seize it by reason's natural efforts. But this much reason can see. We are surrounded by an infinite universe, impossible to cross. Even the most minute thing, an insect or an atom, is infinitely divisible mathematically. But there is still one more infinite abyss for us to discover. If we look inside ourselves, we will discover that a faint trace of our unfallen condition remains. That trace tells us that we were once happy, but are not now. And the spiritual hole within us is infinite in size. Only an infinite spiritual being can fill it. Only God can fulfill us. Later in Pensées, Pascal provides an elegant list of typological evidence from Scripture that would seem to prove the truth of Christianity. But Pascal was convinced such things could appear as proofs only to those whom God had already granted faith. The only thing he believed he could demonstrate to his libertine friends was that Christianity was venerable and lovable. Venerable, because it has perfect knowledge of man. Lovable, because it promises the true good. In brief, the only convincing apologetic for Christianity was that it was the true psychology. It knows what man is fallen. It offers what man wants, true rest and happiness. It tells us to search, but also to wait. All the arguments outside, what we find within human nature Pascal considers of secondary importance, or casts aside in contempt. Of the so-called cosmological arguments of St. Paul, Dionysius the Areopagite, and Thomas Aquinas, Pascal says to tell unbelievers that they have only to look at the course of the moon and the planets, and to claim to have concluded the proof with such an argument is to give them ground for believing that the proofs of our religion are very weak. Without God's grace, we cannot see such intelligible order in nature, just as we can see no prophetic power in Scripture, Pascal concludes. The proof of Christianity lies in man, in his emptiness and his desire. Modern Catholic writers have frequently returned to Pascal as a source for their imaginative visions. Flannery O'Connor and Walker Percy, for instance, give us wanderers in the existential void, searching for the grace that will fill their souls. That their stories are so compelling is a sign that Pascal was at least half right. Christianity is the true psychology. But that is not all it is. Christianity is also a proclamation about the origin and order and destiny of all things. Pope Benedict XVI once asked, "Are we not interested in the cosmos anymore?" Pascal at least was not in his day. He was too much caught up in convincing the psychologically troubled libertines to seek God within.